You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Carolyn Sherlock. Welcome to the Boat Galley. Cruising in hurricane season. With a couple of exceptions, Dave and I have always cruised during hurricane season. I've had quite a few questions about how we do it, so here's our answer. But I don't want to have this taken as me convincing anyone to cruise in hurricane season, or even to say that our way is the right way. It's simply how we do it. As a bit of a background, we do have some idea of what a hurricane is like. On our previous boat, we had one direct hit by a Category 1 hurricane, and were within 50 miles of the eye another four times. We were safely in hurricane holes for those. This past summer, our boat survived a direct hit by Hurricane Irma in the Florida Keys. We personally evacuated to about 500 miles away, but the boat did survive a Category 4 storm there. Okay, the first thing let's talk about is insurance. Insurance has a lot to say about your plans for hurricane season. Our approach has been to decide what we want to do and then find insurance to fit. We have owned both of our boats outright, so we haven't had a lender specifying minimum insurance levels. And it is possible to get hull coverage in hurricane zones, often referred to as inside the box, but usually it will cost more or have a higher deductible. And now, with this season's hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, it's a little bit of a toss-up as to what will be available next year. Hull coverage insurance may impose certain restrictions. For example, our first year in Mexico, when we had hull coverage, our policy specified we had to be in one of several specific marinas for a named storm. Then, when a storm did hit, getting to one of the marinas proved totally impractical, as we would have had to go 100 miles towards the storm. Thus, we were effectively uninsured since we couldn't be in one of those marinas. Our choice now is to be basically self-insured, with liability insurance only. Our boats have been older and less expensive, and while we take a deep breath every year as we again decide to go without hull coverage, we're comfortable with it. It puts even greater responsibility on us to make good decisions and prepare well. In Mexico, the Sea of Cortez, we never had to file a hurricane claim with the insurance company. We also didn't have to with boat U.S. liability coverage for the U.S. only. But then, when we were planning to travel to the Bahamas last year, we had to change companies, and all companies that offered liability-only policies required a written hurricane plan. So, now we have a written hurricane plan. Next thing is weather information. Weather information actually has three parts. First, figuring out how you'll get information. Second, testing and making sure that the systems you've chosen will work. And daily monitoring. We do not rely on only one weather source or only one way of acquiring weather information. Our previous boat had single sideband and ham radio, and we got weather information on the nets, as well as via email from the National Weather Service. We use the National Weather Service Tropical Outlook to give us a heads up on what's happening, and as things develop, the storm forecasts and discussions. The discussions are particularly important to know how much confidence forecasters have in the track and intensity. When they say low confidence, be very careful. We now have a portable single sideband receiver that we can listen to forecasts on, but we can't use it to receive email forecasts. As the National Weather Service has significantly cut back on its single sideband transmission, we listen to Chris Parker's forecast via single sideband when we don't have internet availability. Who you're going to listen to will depend on what area of the world you're in. We also look to internet sources, Chris Parker's forecast via email, National Weather Service and National Hurricane Center Online and their email products. We also have a DeLorme InReach. They're now owned by Garmin, and it's the Garmin InReach. In a pinch, we could get Chris Parker forecasts on the InReach. It is an extra cost. And we have plans in place for a couple of friends for them to be our backup in setting things up with Chris and or sending us updates from other sources if need be. The InReach uses satellite communications, so it will work even when cell phones and other things are down, and that's really important if you're going into remote areas. Both Chris Parker and the Tropical Outlets give us an early warning of anything possibly brewing. Some things they discuss will never come to fruition, but we treat each possibility with respect. Yes, there'll be cries of wolf that turn out to be only shadows, but that doesn't mean that the next warning won't develop into serious weather. An important note, since internet connectivity is an important part of our weather strategy, we do not rely on always finding Wi-Fi coverage. We use cell phone data when we're in range of a cell tower. This gives us far greater coverage throughout the Bahamas and in the Floridas, although there are still dead zones. We read up on how to get data on our cell phone before crossing to the Bahamas, and we got our SIM cards ahead of time from Mr. SIM Card. Their instructions were spot on, and we had internet within 5 minutes of dropping the anchor in the Bahamas. We use our Android phone as a hotspot for all of our other devices. We don't skimp on our cell data either. Admittedly, part of our usage is for the boat galley, but we budget for 50 to 20 gigabytes a month. That's enough to keep us updated on weather. Then there's how we cruise. We play it pretty conservatively with the weather. Admittedly, some will say we're not conservative by the very fact we're out here during hurricane season, but we think we are. First off, while insurance companies look at aggregate patterns, for individual boats, it's more of an all or nothing. Either you encounter serious weather and you don't. There's pretty much nowhere on the east coast of the U.S. that's risk-free. Ditto for the Caribbean, Bahamas, etc. Wherever you are, there is a risk. Finally, it's rare to have less than 3 or 4 days warning that a storm is headed towards us. There's often more time to prepare. But even in 3 days, it gives us a day to move to a hurricane hole, and then 2 days to prep the boat if needed. We have always found that there are long stretches with no storms even possibly threatening. So our guidelines for moving about. We always know where the next hurricane hole or protected marina is, and we try to check it out ahead of time in case we might need it. We have the route into the hurricane hole from an approach waypoint saved on the chart plotter, so that if we decide we need to head in, we're prepared. It's a lot easier to plot a route when there's no urgency. If the engine has any sort of a problem or is going to be out of commission, we try to be close enough to a hurricane hole that we can enter using the dinghy motor if necessary. And in general, we stay within an easy day's travel of a hurricane hole, at the most 2 days or a 24-hour run. We generally don't linger anywhere that we couldn't get to a hurricane hole easily, particularly if it's an area where we'll have spottier access to detailed weather information. The one exception to this is our jump strategy that I'll talk about in a second. For jumps from one hurricane hole area to another, our jumps tend to be 2-3 days travel at most. We know where the next hurricane hole is, we check the charts to it, and so on. We have a route into it on the chart plotter. We don't jump when weather is possibly developing in the area. Forecasts and tracks can change tremendously. The less certain the forecast, the more we stay put. By staying put, I don't mean that we're not moving at all. We're just not moving out of range of whatever hurricane hole is in the area. Admittedly, we do miss windows, but there's a lot less stress overall. We still explore and have fun. We like to have consistency from one forecast to another before we jump, both as compared to the forecast 6 hours ago and from one source to another. They're never going to be identical, but we've learned not to trust any of them when they're varying wildly. This is both for potential storm forecasts and for wind and wave conditions along our intended route. Hurricane season is also the squall season, and we prefer to avoid them too. We don't leave anywhere when our observations of the conditions near us are at odds with what was forecast. Say, we're seeing south winds at 15 and lots of convection, when the forecast was east winds at 5 to 8 with clear skies. At such times, there's obviously something going on that wasn't forecast and that could impact how long it will take us to make the jump. A solid weather window that's at least 24 hours longer than we think we need to be in the vicinity of the next hurricane hole. In fact, if we're doing longer hops, we'd want even more of a buffer. A few other considerations for us on the jumps. We're more conservative when we're in a new cruising area, where we don't know the anchorages, marinas, weather patterns, forecasters, and so on. When we were in the Sea of Cortez for 6 years, we weren't quite as conservative in the last year as in the first year. We knew the area better. We're older now. We don't have deadlines or constraints. We can have fun wherever we are. And we don't like getting beaten up en route due to taking a maybe window. We've made plenty of rough trips in the past. We know we can handle snotty weather if we have to. We just prefer not to. It's supposed to be fun. We know we won't die if we get caught away from a protected anchorage in the outer bands of a system, but it's not going to be fun. We've already checked that off our bucket list. No need to do it again. Barefoot Gal is still a relatively new boat to us, 3 years out. While we both have years of sailing, racing, and general boating experience, 64 for Dave and 45 for me, she's still a new-to-us boat. She reacts differently than our one-design racing boat or our previous heavy monohull cruising boat. We don't just instinctively make adjustments. Don't get me wrong, she's a great boat, but we're a little more conservative as we learn her. And while we prepped our previous boat numerous times for hurricanes, and by the time we sold it, we knew exactly what we had to do and how to do it, we've only done it a few times on Barefoot Gal. We could prep our previous boat in one long day of work, but we want 2 days now. We do have a water maker, a composting head, and carry a large supply of food. We top up with diesel fuel and gasoline whenever a jerry can is empty. In other words, we're ready to move into a hurricane hole anytime we need without a trip to town first. We know that most people don't actively cruise during hurricane season. We choose to, but with an abundance of caution. I know I'll get comments both saying we're crazy to be out here and that we don't need to be as conservative as we are. The bottom line? Everyone has to decide what's right for them. I'm not saying others should follow what we do. Just trying to give an idea of what we do as a starting point for others to make their own decisions.
Bonnie Lass Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Lass is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.
To make sure you never miss an episode of the Boat Galley podcast, become a Boat Radio subscriber. It's easy. There's lots of ways to do it. Just search for Boat Radio within your favorite podcasting app, and you'll find a subscribe or follow button alongside a list of the shows. Alternatively, go to our host, audioboom.com, and search for Boat Radio. At the top of the page, you'll find subscribe buttons for all the major podcasting apps, plus a link to our RSS feed. And don't forget to leave a review. The feedback is very important to us. That's all from the Boat Galley this week. Until next time, then.
Looking for luxury accommodation in Mallorca, but don't want to pay high summer prices? Well, Mallorcan Tonic, the low-season luxury hotel booking website, is here to help. We can save you hundreds of euros on your hotel choice, making sure you enjoy exceptional accommodation at a fraction of the summer rates. In addition, each of our hand-picked hotels offers tempting low-season incentives, including further discounts, room upgrades, and complimentary cava on arrival. Whether you choose the buzz of Palma, cool coastal views, or the magnetism of the mountains, we have a hotel to suit you. You can also book our favourite restaurants, from local eateries to Michelin stars, each offering a free glass of cava. And there's lots of helpful hints about what to do during your visit. So if you're missing your sunshine fix and want to beat the winter blues, then click on MallorcanTonic.com and let us find you your dream hotel and save you money.